Romans chapter 5, entitled the message this morning is Being Justified, for there are two places in this particular chapter where the divisions are set before us in that regard. So I think it's very important for us to realize that the very essence of this particular book is all about manifesting the righteousness of God. God wants us to understand His righteousness in salvation. You and I, we take it for granted, especially if we were brought up in a Christian home. It's like, wow, you know, this is great, you know, wonderful, we're all saved, let's go on and do whatever. But the reality is, for these people, these were Roman people to whom he was writing. There was a mixture of Jews and Gentiles in Rome, and he had to kind of help them come together. This was all the, you know, the foundation of the church, and there was a little difficulty in not feeling like I was superior because I'm a Jew or whatever, and the Gentiles trying to find their way into the kingdom because the Messiah of the Jews has come, but he's opened the door. It was just like something he had to constantly work through. So chapter 1, verses 16, 17, and 18 really set the pace for the whole book. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Unto everyone that believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. He wants us to know about the righteousness of God. And he says, and the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And then he really kind of focuses on the wrath of God in chapter 1. And then in chapter 2, he comes to the concept of God's judgment, how he judges man. Chapter 3, he kind of sets forth the righteousness of God. Chapter 4, we saw he showed us the faith of Abraham. And he showed us this is what it looks like. To be somebody who believes God. That's how you get saved. You don't get saved by believing in God. You get saved by believing God. You can't believe God if you don't know what He says. Now, if God makes a promise and you know it's from God, it's not going to be hard to believe that if you believe in God. But you've got to have something to believe. You know, believing in God's good. James says it, doesn't he? He says, you believe in God. You do well. But that the devils also believe and tremble. So it's a good starting point, but it doesn't save. Believing in God doesn't save. It's believing God. And he's sharing with us in chapter 5 all about being justified. Because at the end of chapter 4, he says this, God delivered up Jesus, he was delivered for our offenses, verse 25 of chapter 4, and was raised again for our justification. So it's a done deal. He actually says earlier in the chapter that Jesus actually because of what Jesus has done, God now imputes to us Christ's righteousness. The whole chapter 4 is all about how he imputes to us righteousness. We don't deserve it. He says it's a free gift. He says it's by grace. It's through faith. You don't deserve this thing, okay? We got to get our mind around that. We live on the ground of grace. And it is because of that that you will not despair as you do the journey, okay? The journey is huge. It's a long way from here to there for most of us. And the fact of the matter is there's a lot of opportunity to mess up. And you're going to mess up. Aren't you glad to know that going in? You know, I mean, yes, there's a lot of things we need to know. You need to know going in that it's going to cost you your life, in a sense, right? He says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. He doesn't pull any punches. He says, it's going to be a difficult way. You're going to be carrying a cross. You're going to be identified with the Savior Jesus. And he says, you got to know that. But he also wants you to know going in that he's taken into account all of your mess. All of your difficulties, all of your propensities. In chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says this, therefore, because he's piggybacking off of his last statement, verse 25, being justified by faith. Look at that, being. The Apostle Paul had no qualms about saying, we're justified. Now, I don't know about you, but there's a whole lot of religion out there that would like to, you know, play footsies with the whole issue of salvation. They'd like to say, well, yeah, maybe, maybe, maybe not. Yeah, you know, I could really mess it up to the point where it would never come out okay. They do not understand the work of Christ when they play footsies with the cross. Jesus paid it all. Jesus understood our need, and he didn't come to do half the job. He came to do the entire job. It's the work of Christ. Salvation is his doing, and salvation is that which is accomplished. When Jesus died on the cross, last words before he commended his spirit into God's the Father's hands, he said, it is finished. It is paid in full. Literally, it could be translated. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have a number of things. We have peace with God. The Greek word for peace is eirene, comes from a word, eiro, which means to join. What has happened because of what Jesus did in our behalf, when we trust Him as our Savior, when we put our faith in Jesus like Abraham did, he put his faith in God's Word and God imputed to him righteousness. When we put our faith in what God has done through Christ, He imputes to us righteousness. And the moment that happens, we are joined to God. Now we join God, if you will. You know, the whole concept of us interacting with God. Some people bear marks and wounds in their hearts to this day, especially among our men, because our fathers weren't the kind of dads that allowed us to join them in some measure. They didn't play ball with us. They didn't let us work on a project with them. They didn't let us use the saw. They didn't let us join them. Well, God lets us join them. You know, the Bible says He's a father to the fatherless. He is the one who understands all our need. And what God does is He lets us join Him. And when we join Him, we don't just join Him and sit in His lap and hang out. What we do is we join Him in the task of rescuing the world. We become His sons, His daughters. We become those who go out and become ambassadors. We are His tabernacles. We take God with us wherever we go. And we represent, as the priest in the kingdoms of Israel in the past represented the presence of God. We represent, as being joined to God, we represent the presence of God. We are joined to Him. We have peace with God. And we're good with that. You know, when you have peace with somebody, you can sit in their presence comfortably. Sometimes we don't sit very comfortably in God's presence because we got something between us and Him, don't we? Some of you walked in here this morning, you know, you rascal, you got something between you and God. And you're not at peace and quiet. You got to turn up the stereo real loud. You know, a lot of people aren't at peace. I've noted, I knew a couple of years ago who used to drive a 35, 40 minute drive routinely because we lived in a little nook in West Virginia, or in Virginia. And they'd go to Bristol from our little nook, and it was like 40 minutes. And they'd drive the whole time. And they wouldn't say a word. I'd say, really? Because I couldn't get my mind around not saying a word for 40 minutes. That's just me. But, you know, but they could do that. But they were really comfortable with each other. Comfortable in each other's presence. They could sit comfortably because they were just very comfortable. And God wants you to be like, we have peace with God. And that's a joy, that's a blessing. You know, it wasn't like that before. All their lifetimes, the Bible says, they lived in fear of death before the cross. But now that Jesus died, now that He has justified us, now that He's imputed to us, right? We're at peace with God. We're joined with God. Comfortable with Him, at peace with Him, and understanding there's a task to be done. Now guys, listen. For many of us, we think it's a preacher's job to be out there tasking and rescuing. No, it's everybody's job. We are His children, and we want to be like Him. It is amazing how children want to be like their daddies. We had little Lincoln at our house here over the weekend, and it was funny because he had this little cute hat on, you know, a little ball cap. His daddy wears a ball cap. And he just, when the ball cap was off, he'd take it, he'd grab it, he'd put it back on. He wanted his ball cap. Why? Because he wanted to be like his daddy. And your kids want to be like you, Dad. And you got to understand that how you are and your disposition and your demeanor and your spirit toward them and toward their efforts to be like you, huge impacts on them. Very, very delicate times every day. You don't know what day it's going to be that you're going to define what that kid's going to be like. Be on your guard against saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing, being the wrong kind of guy. Because they're looking at you. They want to be like you. You know what? When you get born again, you want to be. You really do want to be like your father. Your heavenly Father. That's one of the marks. We're going to see that in a moment. He says, having been justified, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the mediator between God and man. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. No man comes to the Father but through Him. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also, this is another thing we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now, what's interesting is, I want you to kind of break that little sentence down a little bit in verse 2, because he's telling us something very important. It's easy to read this and it seems foreign to us, because we don't talk religiously. By the way, we live in a day where we want to talk politically, but we don't talk religiously. In the early days of this country, people talked religiously all the time. When the work was done in the field, they'd sit around the table talking theology. They would interact with the issues of Arminianism and Calvinism and whether it's saved forever or whether you can lose it. And they were really working it out. We don't even know what that meant, what I was just talking about today, unfortunately for many of us. They loved the Word of God. And the Bible says in verse 2, it says, don't let it go by you so that it gets above you. It says, by whom we have access, by faith, into this grace wherein we stand. The fact is there's not one reason why any of us should be able to stand in God's presence at all. But here we are. We're standing and we have peace. How? By grace. How? Through faith. How do you have faith? You know, I wanted to illustrate this for you so you can understand it. Have you ever taken your family on a little journey, a little trip, and there you are, you're pulling into this hotel, you're wore out, you're wiped out, and the kids finally are loose, you know, you go, wah! You know, they're nuts. What do? They walk into the hotel room, and they jump it on the bed. Woohoo! You can see it in your mind. They're cut loose. Why? Because Dad paid for the room. It's our room. This is my, I got this bed. We used to put Ryan in the drawer. Anybody ever put their kid in a drawer? I mean, nice. I don't mean slam it shut and lock it. But he was real little. We'd open it up, put a nice little bed in there. I made him his nice little crib. But what I'm saying is it was ours. We could do that. And what I'm saying to you and what Paul is saying to all of us is that we have access through Jesus into this grace ground. We live in the realm of grace. David said, you brought me into a wide place. It's the head, the heights, the depths, the widths, the breadths. It's an amazing place. You can run all the way to the west and you can't extinguish it. You can run all the way. I can't go out of His presence. He's there. And He's our Father. And He's watching over us. And He cares. And He's nurturing our faith. And the Bible says it is by Jesus that we have access by faith into this grace by which we stand. And you know what? Standing is huge because the fact of the matter is when you fall down, you begin to find out who you are. Because many people get down on themselves because they don't know enough. They're nepios. They don't have words. They don't have scripture. They don't know that the Bible says if we sin, we confess our sins, He will be faithful and just to forgive us. So we don't know all our Bibles. We need help. We need the church. We need other believers so we can draw down and help each other. But the fact of the matter is when you fall down, and you will, you'll snap at your spouse. You'll snap at your kids. You'll stumble. You'll think the wrong things. You'll have a lapse in any kind of spiritual intensity. There won't be anything. You feel like God's a million miles away. Even though it's your feelings, the Word still affirms He's right there. But you'll feel like He's a million miles away. And you'll feel like you did something. I was reading recently about John Bunyan's life story. And he was talking about how when he got converted, he wrestled for 2 years over whether after conversion he had committed the unpardonable sin. But you want to know what the active word here is? He wrestled. He stood. He kept wrestling. He didn't want it to be true. And he plundered the scriptures. And he said, could it be that I've done this? Is there anybody else? And he was wrestling. Where do you get the desire to get back in the seat? Where do you get the desire to get back in the book? Where do you get the desire to hear a Christian song or hear a word of promise? It's from God. It is grace that God brings in and covers us with. Just like when your kids feel discouraged and despondent, the first thing you want to do is get them on the bedside and sit there with your arm around them and give them a hug and say, it's going to be okay. I'm for you. I love you. God is just like that. It is grace. He doesn't leave you when you mess up. You want to know what He does? He draws nearer. We had these guys out here planting these bushes along the side of the building yesterday. And I know there's a little vest.